What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Detroit has. It's hard to know what Detroit has.
Yeah, I tend to think I'd rather work with Detroit. You've got a linebacker who's all-pro linebacker. You've got an all-pro defensive end, and you've got, if they can get healthy, two potentially all-pro safeties to work with, and it's a team that can make a run at a championship. Harrison Smith is retiring, right, from Minnesota, so that is changing a little bit there, but more importantly, I don't think Minnesota's going anywhere. It's not to say Detroit's got the best job. Other teams, I imagine, would be, if, you know, interviewing Brian Flores, there'd be some teams that are in contention for a championship that might be in better shape than the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at Minnesota's defense and I'm going, okay, this guy had a top three scoring defense, top 10 total defense. Why do you want to take over a defense that ranks nowhere near that?
Because you can turn them into that same defense, and if it's a better team, then you can win a championship.
If you can do it, you probably have a better path to a championship, given their offense, yes. But you're taking on a massive project when you've kind of got to dial in now. Look, I'd love it. Don't get me wrong.
Unless you don't think it's a massive project.
Well,
you're watching from afar, maybe not even that afar, because you play them twice a year, and you've seen what they do defensively. If you're like, I swear to God, man, if they were run this defense instead, they'd be so much better off, and I'm glad they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah. Feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox. Do you guys think Ben Johnson would have had a great season here with this year's offensive line? Please answer, I do not.
No, I don't think he would have. And it's not because he's, you know, number one on my list of people that I don't like in the NFL right now, but it's, I don't think he would have. He did.
I think he's been on the list.
He's on the list for sure. But no, I don't think he would have done anything, helped them out. I mean, maybe there might be some plays for sure that that would have been more successful, but by and large, I don't think it would look that different.
Kang, do you think Ben Johnson would have made a difference with this year's offense?
I think he would have made a difference. Now, was that difference good enough to get him to the Super Bowl? Probably not. I think the offensive line issues were that big. But I do think they probably would have won a game or two that would have put him over the top to get him into the dance, at least. I think, John Morton, he got taken, his ability to call plays was taken away from him early. Dan Campbell, and it wasn't like they were averaging 16 points a game either. He just did not like the flow. He didn't like what he saw. He knows how it's supposed to look. He said it, right? And that's, it wasn't what he wanted to see. So he took over the play calling. I think Ben Johnson would have been the play caller the entire year. They would have won a game or two more and would have gotten the playoffs. Now, the Super Bowl, like I said, I think the offensive line issues were too much to overcome, but I think Ben Johnson would have gotten the playoffs.
Next text. Even when we have Frank here and had a good offensive line, it wasn't enough. The other defensive end would help our secondary and put us over the top. Just my opinion. That's from Toman Mike. So your all-in move that will show their continuing growth is to get an end opposite of Hutch. Is that lack of belief in Al-Qadim Muhammad? Is it concern that he's not coming back? Is it that people just aren't impressed with Al-Qadim Muhammad?
It could be a couple of things. I mean, Al-Qadim Muhammad had a great season with 11 sacks when you look at it just as numbers. But if you look at how many games did he have sacks in, it's, you know, I think it was 7. So that's more than half the season that you're not getting to the quarterback. And look, there's other numbers. I guess you could do a deeper dive and look at it. But I think based off
the pressures, it's how you do in run support.
But based off the number that it's 11 for the quarterback sacks, I think Al-Qadim Muhammad is going to get paid this offseason. And you have to ask yourself, if you're the Lions, can we get more consistent effort from him for that price? Because he's going to likely command a $15 million a year salary. He's not going to get Trey Hendrickson money. You know, but is he, I mean, is he in a better situation than Jalen Phillips when it comes to what he's going to get paid in the offseason?
He might be. I mean, honestly,
he was a hell of a lot more productive than Jalen Phillips was with Philadelphia.
It's crazy because if you go out and sign an edge opposite of Hutch, I think it's too much of an ask to ask for a guy who's top 10, top 11 in the NFL in sacks. That's what Al-Qadim Muhammad was. He finished tied for 11th with Jeffrey Simmons with 11 quarterback sacks. And again, we all know this. Sacks are not the only stat that matters.
No, but it's an important one.
Yep.
Yep. And I'd love to see the Lions sign him and bring him back.
Out of all the guys in the top 15, he had far and away the fewest sacks plus tackle for losses. So, which are just as valuable.
Yes, but I'm also guessing he probably had fewer plays.
He might have had fewer snaps. He might have had fewer snaps, but I mean, to get that kind of production out of whoever it is would be great. A big move here would be to get good coordinators. That's from an unnamed texter. I think the biggest thing this team could do is to get two players who are a veteran presence on the defense, two guys that have been there and done that. Well, they could, and I suspect they will. Like, there's, you know, they go after free agents specifically for need, and they use the draft just to replenish talent in the organization.
Well, and this year is going to be an interesting year. Is going to be where they look beyond Alex Anzalone, veteran player who's may not be on this team. DJ Reader, veteran player, may not be on this team. I mean, those are two positions right away that I think that and Marcus Davenport not going to be here. Not that he played a huge role, but another veteran. Do they need to go out and get more adults in the room that have been there and none that are or that are hungry to win that championship?
You're a Lions fan. If you're a season ticket holder, you got this in your inbox yesterday. I want to start by thanking, this is from Sheila Hamp. I want to start by thanking you for your commitment to our team and the support you showed throughout the season. I'm always blown away by the energy you create inside Ford Field and take it and the advantage you give our team every time we run out of the tunnel. Also want to acknowledge that our results on the field were not what we envisioned and frankly not good enough. While we do not believe it's time for drastic change, this is an opportunity to refocus, evolve, and move forward. I'm proud of the roster we have built and the 36 wins we've accumulated over the last three seasons. The success, however, doesn't happen by accident. It also doesn't guarantee future success. It is incumbent upon us to continue growing towards our ultimate goal of bringing a championship to all of you, the city of Detroit. I can assure you we're committed to looking at everything we do to ensure we're performing at the highest level. Through our conversations with Rod, Brad, and Dan, we're all aligned with this thinking and have already started meeting to address how to move forward. We're excited for what 2026 will bring and some of the new elements we'll introduce to all of you, our most loyal fans. Thank you again for your commitment. Go Lions, Sheila Hamp. How did you interpret that when you got it or when you hear it here? And what is that move that will, quote, continue growing towards the ultimate goal of bringing a championship that you want to see? The one thing that will indicate that that is the case for you. 248-539-9797-971. The ticket.
Are you kicking off the new year by trying to save money with ice cold showers? Well, me neither. And this is why I called the team at Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Don't let a frozen pipe or a broken furnace derail your New Year's goals before January's even over. Their local licensed experts are third-generation family tradesmen who handle the serious stuff so that you can focus on starting the year warm and stress-free. Whether it's your furnace or your water heater, a boiler or water filtration system, schedule your appointment online at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. That's BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
Now through six episodes of Pluribus.
Look at you.
Rounding the corner, headed for home. Doug might actually finish a TV series.
Any chance that once you finish that, you're going to start on Benjamin Button?
I've got a list of movies I want to watch that was not on it, but maybe I'll add it based upon your... See, I don't want to be depressed, though. I feel like you're making me watch a movie that evoked emotion.
It's reflective. I don't know if it's depressing. That's, I mean, part of it is, but also some stuff is kind of uplifting and, you know.
Is it?
Yeah, I think for you, being a father and having raised three children into adulthood at this point, I think it's, you can reflect on that and be proud of it.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
And I do believe you have a soul, unlike Kang.
Because Kang didn't cry during Benjamin Button?
Man, how bad were the Wings playing last night, man?
That made you switch and wanted to cry.
I would rather watch something that makes me cry than watch this hockey game.
You are, jeez, man.
When I saw the movie in 2008, the Red Wings were on their way to the Stanley Cup.
Well, that's true.
I still cried then. It's all right.
Yeah, well.
I'm all right.
Yes, you are. Next up, Mark in Beverly Hills. An all-in move would be a willingness to find stars and studs to fill holes outside of your own. So you want to go outside the organization. Mark says go get a free agent or trade for a guy. No drastic, not dumping a quarterback. One thing to show commitment to a championship is getting a top offensive coordinator. Addressing the O-line is a given. And if they don't, that will be confirmation that they're running a business and not a championship sports team. Well, look, I mean, given the things that Brad Holmes said, it's pretty clear they're going to try. Brad Holmes made no bones about it. He does not. He does not think they have in-house answers. Wasn't that pretty clear in the messaging last week?
I think so. Yeah. But the question is, when you go out of house, how much can they spend?
Yeah, because they're over the cap right now. They got to restructure some contracts.
Yeah, and I'm replacing a player that, let's just throw a number, it grades at 70, and you're replacing that player with a player that grades at 71, mm-hmm. isn't going to instill a whole lot of confidence. It's getting difference makers.
All right, if you want to keep talking Lions, you can. Yesterday, Nolan Arenado got traded to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Third baseman, yep.
Yep. A player that had been connected to Detroit, but I don't know if he was only speculation where writers saw a team in need and thought that Detroit might be interested. Alex Bregman, another third baseman, signs this week with the Cubs. What is your level of disappointment in seeing these moves happen? And we just don't really seem to be a player here in Detroit.
It's getting higher and higher. Like, last year's offseason moves were really pretty disappointing with the pitching staff, what they did. Getting Gleyber Torres was a little bit of an eyebrow raise. Like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. Bringing him back this year is bittersweet because I think he's a pretty good second baseman, and if he's going to stay healthy, then I really like him. But, you know, he got hurt towards the end of the season, or the second half of the season wasn't the same because of dealing with lingering injuries. And they would have had money freed up to go get somebody. And did that move, because it was a player option for that second year, and he opted back in with the Tigers, did that prevent the Tigers from going out and getting and bidding on Alex Bregman or others? It may have. And the money wasted last year, whether it was Alex Cobb or whatever, that's frustrating. And the Tigers do have money they can spend. And I want them to spend that money because I'm tired of living in the wait till world. I don't want to do that. And then you see what's going on with the arbitration with Tarek Skubal, and that's all very frustrating. I want them to be more proactive with all-star caliber players that have a real pedigree and not just projects. You know, it seems like every pitcher they bring in here, it's a project. It's a guy who showed promise because he had a high strikeout rate, or at one point his spin rate was this, and we think we can get him back. And that's great if you can turn that around, but you don't always turn that around. And, you know, there's only so much magic that the pitching staff can do to get this righted. But I want more players that have the cachet of being all-stars. So I wish that there was more done, particularly with the lineup and hitters. I was hoping that we might see some sort of trade that makes sense. Got a bunch of prospects. Go get a guy that makes sense and latch on to it. And you're hearing that Kyle Tucker, it was offered a $50 million a year deal by the Mets. That's the report that's going on right now. It's a short-term deal for $50 million annually. And maybe it's just a two-year deal. You know, could the Tigers get creative with doing something like that with Skubal? If they offered Skubal a two-year, $80 million contract, so he could free agency in 2 years, mm-hmm. is that something that Boris would go, oh, well, hang on. So you pitched the year that you were going to pitch with them anyway, and then they're going to give you an extra year, but they're paying you $40 million for each year to do so. And I don't know if it would or wouldn't. I mean, it seems like Boris is hell-bent on doing this, but Boris is also, he's willing to say, we like the short-term deal. He did it with Bregman last year. Might get it done. I think, does he represent Tucker? I don't know if he represents Tucker or not, but it sounds like a Boris move. We know he represents Goebel. But are there, you know, could the Tigers do something like that with Bichette? If you're not completely sold on it, you don't want to do something long-term, but do something shorter-term, but more money. It could kind of protect yourself until the younger players, these prospects are willing, are up here and not willing, but up here and actually performing like the players you thought they were when you drafted them.
So a couple things here. One is Tucker is not a Boris client.
Good to hear. But yep. Still $50 million is the report.
Two is all of what you've said makes sense, but it feels like a non-starter because I'm at a point with this Tigers organization where I think it's zero part of their plan. And it's too bad to a certain extent, it's too bad because they're close. They're the favorite to win the division. They're the favorite to win the division. And they seem like they want to make moves on the shoulder of the roster. Like they just want to, they're signing guy like 18, 19, and 20 on their roster instead of looking to upgrade 1 through 9, 1 through 5. They're focused on bullpen help, which we're going to be happy. Like we're going to be happy with bullpen.
Yeah,
help.
I think the bullpen's going to be a nice part of this team, and they might still be. There's reports that the Tigers are still kicking the tires on a couple of starting pitchers like Lucas Giolito. They would certainly be an upgrade over what they had. But it's, you know, how long-term are these things? It never seems to be long-term with the starting pitchers that they're looking at. Evan Petzold of the Free Press had an article today that said that the Tigers actually had offered Skubal $19.8 million in the negotiation process. But when it came time for the arbitration, their final number, they dropped it to 19. And if that's true, it's like, why? Why would you have dropped it from 19.8 down to 19 million? And his article is interesting because it talks about the 19.8 would have eclipsed the number that David Price got, which set the record back in 2015, or at least was offered at 19.75, would have eclipsed that. And the percentage raise over, or actually the dollar raise over what he was making would have set a record as well. It would have outdone what Jacob deGrom got. So I don't know why, if that story is true, for them to go from 19.8 down to 19 is not good.
Well, there's a lot of moving parts with arbitration that we went over yesterday. It is an extremely complicated process that is, you know, I'm still learning about some of the nuance of it. Like, I didn't know there was a Major League Baseball labor relations group that recommended to teams what they offer. And, you know, the Tigers were in record territory, but this was not an offer that was made that would lead to what I think is the best result. The best result is you win the World Series. The best result is you win the World Series within budget. And offering him $32 million and just saying, fine, if you want 32, we'll give you 32 for this year. We'll give you 32 gladly. Let's go win the World Series on your way out. Shake hands. Let's end this thing on a high note. We'll both be happy. You'll get what you want, which is free agency, and we'll get what we want, which is a ring. Let's go do this together. That's what everybody wants. So taking it to arbitration. Now, given, people in the game have warned me that Boris wants a fight. And I'm not talking about people with the Tigers. Okay? It's not Tigers, but it's people in the game. Boris wants a fight. Boris wants to challenge the system. Boris wants to set new records with arbitration to help his clients in the future. Boris does these kinds of things that are self-serving and also client-serving. But so it's not like their side is without fault, at least according to the people I talk to. I'm going to learn more about it. But at the end of the day, I don't know why we aren't just focused on the possibility of the result, because giving him $32 million, that extra $13 million, and having him happy and having him want to win he says all the right things about Detroit. Wouldn't he want to give this organization in this town a World Series on his way out to his money cannon generational money contract that he will get. That's what everybody would love, us and him. Give it. We might love it more if he stayed here.
Yeah, but if he's a World Series title here with him, and then he leaves in free agency after they win a World Series, I don't think anybody would. Oh, people might. Some people might have an issue, but most people would be like, "Don't care. Thank you."
Yep.
Thank you for letting us be World Series champs.
I'm in favor of saving money if you're going to spend it elsewhere. I'm not going to get mad at him for not doing it yet, but I don't think they're going to. It doesn't feel like they're saving this $13 million so they can put it towards Bichette.
No, it doesn't.
Or Tucker on a short-term contract. Like,
which is why, I'm always going to think, what would have happened if they didn't have to, if Gleyber Torres had not opted in?
Yeah.
Jack Flaherty, I think, was another one. Didn't he opt back in to get money? So it's... would that have been money spent on better players? I don't know. But he's got his own plan, and his plan revolves around the guys that he has drafted, the guys that they're developing as prospects. And maybe it's all going to be vindicated in a few years because we'll see how great McGonigal and Max Clark are along with other players. Maybe. And that's going to come at a time at the same time that guys like Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, and Kerry Carpenter are all entering free agency.
And I'm very appreciative for what they've done here. They built a winning team.
Yes.
They built a winning team
playoff team.
People didn't think it was going to happen. But and they may do it again, but they could really strengthen their position, and it just doesn't feel like they are they're in no rush. They're playing for tomorrow so much when today could be taken advantage of. 97-1.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Just saw a highlight from the Steelers-Houston game. Puts a smile on my face.
Yeah.
The pick six that Rodgers threw at the end.
Yeah.
The effort that Aaron Rodgers makes to try to make the tackle as the defensive back is returning it.
Yeah.
It is kind of funny. Their defensive back just kind of puts the brakes on. Whoop. And Rodgers goes flying into the sideline. And then he picks up again and keeps running and gets the touchdown.
I just think it's a perfect wrap to his career. Sometimes you get to the end of a career and I kind of feel bad for him. It's sad and all that. The years of torture he put us through.
Yeah.
And then kind of the person he turned into. Do you remember when he was younger and he was actually kind of funny?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I mean, and there have been moments even when he was with the Jets or even with the Steelers that he might say something like, "All right, damn it, don't do that because that makes me like you again." He's a Hall of Fame quarterback without question. He was a phenomenal quarterback from the time that he got to start. Mm-hmm. And then for the next 12 years? He was a phenomenal quarterback. Now, the last couple of years, not so much as you get to the end of your career and you're hanging on. You're trying to find one last shot at glory, and it didn't work out for him and whatever. And we're here in Detroit, and he tortured us, as you said, when he was with the Packers. So we can say bad things about him, but I can also say and respect that the fact he is a Hall of Fame quarterback. Sure. And his career is likely done. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't imagine the Steelers want to bring him back. And if you're another team around the league, who wants him other than in a backup role? I mean, it might want him as a backup, but certainly not as a starter. And even then, do you want the distraction?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. Perfect bow to his career. The other thing, we were just talking about the Tigers, and as you watch players start to fall off the board and trades being made, and I've gotten to the point where we have given the benefit of the doubt to this organization for a long time. And the arbitration process is awfully complicated. And I do think the agent wants a fight. And this is being, you know, the Ken Rosenthal story that I read from yesterday, if you didn't hear it, he basically implied as much. But one of the things I've always thought with Scuba is if Scuba won't take your money, somebody will. And I have real reservations about the long-term prognosis for Scuba. Odds are he just had the best 2 years of his career. Odds are. And you don't want to end up paying a guy for what he did and not what he's going to be. And, it, you know, I look at track records of pitchers and how quickly they can start to slide. I don't think it's devastating to the organization that they don't bring back Tarek Skubal for the next decade. What'll be devastating to the organization is if all of these guys that they are counting on don't pan out. And like, I'll give you an example and what my concern is. My concern is there's so much riding on their players in their organization, not just being good. I think it's reliant upon them hitting the ground running. And all I keep thinking about is Colt Keith. Colt Keith is a really nice player who I think has a very bright future. The first couple of years here in Detroit, we can see how tough it is to make this transition to Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they have Colt Keith, and I'm glad they have him locked up. But Colt Keith, to me, is indicative of how expecting McGonagall or Clark or Briseño or Lorenzo to be ready for them to win in 27 and maybe even 28 feels like it's putting a lot on them hitting the ground running.
It is. And I think there's a difference between the type of prospect that McGonagall and Max Clark are, and maybe even Briseño, compared to Colt Keith.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're more highly thought of at this stage in their minor league careers, getting ready to bust into the majors than Colt Keith. But your point's valid. I mean, Colt Keith has hit the ground and it hasn't been running. It's been...
There's promise there.
Yeah, there's definitely promise. It's been a little bit of a slow jog, and at times he looks like, oh my God, he's got it. And yeah, I think he's competent, but he's a guy that has to take another big step this year.
No question.
Because walking at the same pace is not going to work for this team if you're a piece of the foundation of this team. But yeah, I hear you. I don't know the way that McGonagall is being hyped sure makes it seem like this is a guy who's going to hit the ground running. And yet I'm not sure if that's entirely fair. And we're not even sure if he's going to make the roster out of spring training.
Well, here's the thing. If they don't, then this iteration of the Tigers, this competitive team that is truly competitive and they deserve a ton of credit for getting them there, it's all kind of wasted, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, there's a lot riding on this for Scott Harris, for taking the approach that he's taken. And, you know,
and maybe Chris, ownership.
Yeah. I was just saying Chris Illich too, because you're putting your faith in the guy who is, and maybe it's because I don't know, who knows what the edict is, if there's any edict from ownership of following a budget or whatever, but the Tigers look like an organization that are certainly following a budget. And I wonder if some of that's just been forced out because of contracts they've given out, guys have opted back in, and preventing them from spending more money, or if it's just ownership saying, yeah, we're not going above $175 million or whatever the number is, if there's a hard line to be drawn in the sand. Because this is a team that's made the playoffs each of the last 2 years and has won a playoff series in each of the last 2 years. Winning the series is what gives you the hope, right?
Yep.
Regular season, you could say they collapse at the end of the year. I don't care if they collapse at the end of the year in the regular season. They still won that playoff series to start the postseason, and then damn near got to the ALCS. They were just within a run of doing that. That's another big step that they took. How are they going to take the next step forward with this team? And there's a dark cloud looming over them right now because of the Skubal situation. And it could be lifted if they get a haul in return, if they trade them. it could be lifted if, you know, it seems like everybody's happy with an arbitration number to get thrown out and you know, it, whatever. And there's still reasons that can work, but there's also reasons it can't.
I guess there's two things out of this. One is I'm not mad that they're going to lose him long term. I think it's more likely, if you look at like Jacob deGrom, who won back-to-back World Series, whose arbitration cases get compared to to Scooble, and you read the numbers yesterday, what deGrom has done since the back-to-back Cy Youngs. I think about how quickly Dontrell Willis lost it.
Yeah.
I think about Tim Lincecum. I think about a lot of dominant pitchers that I'm perfectly comfortable with not spending $10 million or 10-year contract and $400 million on school.
Yeah, I would not go anywhere near a $10 million deal. I probably wouldn't go anywhere near an $8 million deal. But and if somebody else is, if that's the number that like the Yankees are willing to do it, the Mets are willing to, let them do it, and I'm fine with it. And that's why I say, you know, I resign myself to the thought that I'm going to trade him. Mm-hmm. I'm going to trade him for the best offer that I can get. It's likely what's going to happen. If that offer isn't a good enough offer, then I'll ride out the season and we'll try to win a World Series with him because he's that caliber pitcher right now. Is he going to be that caliber pitcher in 3 or 4 years? I don't know. I'd bet against it.
Well, I will tell you this. The other thing that maybe is a positive here is that the arbitration case, and this was speculated on in that Ken Rosenthal story, is all groundwork. I want to be traded. We want to trade you. $32 million is I want to be traded. $19 million is we want to trade you. And maybe that's where this ends up. It is the impetus for, yeah, we're that far apart. We're you know, Scuba more open to talking to teams. Like, and I've used this as an example. Let's say they had a deal worked out with Texas where the Tigers liked the return, and he said, yeah, I'm not talking to anybody about a long-term contract. Maybe he revisits that position because he wants out of Detroit so bad. So we'll see. So I'm not particularly encouraged with what's going on here, but we'll continue to mine to find out the rest of the story because there's a lot of nuance to the story. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
So snow, huh?
I'm seeing freezing rain or something. I don't know what the hell's going on there. It looks like snow.
That looks like snow, straight snow.
Had freezing rain this morning.
Yep. It's in the forecast, my friend. Snow is in the forecast, which you'll grant snow over freezing rain, right?
Yes, 100%.
Kang, you hate it all?
Yep. Looked outside and said, congratulations, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you're happy.
Well, is it better than freezing rain?
Yeah, it is better than freezing rain.
We have middle ground then. We have middle ground. So there is that. 248-539-9797. Carson Anderson. Talking some Tigers. We opened the show talking Red Wings. Well, that game last night was somewhat unsatisfactory. We had some Piston talk mixed in. Is there a path to Giannis? Probably not. That makes sense. But the Michael Porter Jr. talk is starting to get more and more reporting all the time. And the Pistons seem to be deeply involved in that. Lions ownership sends out a letter that is a variety of responses to what they think that letter really means. You know, somebody interpreted it as, and we didn't get a chance to kind of, because we were up against a hard break, comment in the card said he thought it was a little bit of a shot at Brad Holmes. In reality, I think the disappointment stems back to Holmes with an understanding that it was a swing and a miss. You know, I'm a huge Brad Holmes fan, but Pobedy's nerfed. And he is included. And, you know, this was a step back. I think he is a another missed playoff. In reality, at least another missed playoff year from being on the hot seat. I don't know if he's on notice either, but when we heard him speak, I thought he was. I think he knows they got to bounce back. And I did not read that as a shot at Brad Holmes, that letter, or slight shot at Brad Holmes. But if I were Brad Holmes, I'd be like, all right, I better. But maybe I get a little bit more aggressive this offseason.
Well, I mean, I think this falls in line with what, you know, Martha Ford said in a statement years ago, right? That whatever they hit 9-7 wasn't good enough. And it was unfortunate that, you know, the team had a pretty good coach in Jim Caldwell, but it was almost mediocre and it wasn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And they set the bar higher. And now this group, what they've done the last 3 years, has definitely set the bar higher. And what she said in that statement, I think it reinforces that. There is a high bar here, and you got to live up to it. This year clearly didn't. We don't need to make drastic changes, but changes have to come.
Yep.
And this team needs to get better quickly.
248-539-9797. The offseason is underway. And if people tuning in hoping for news on Mike McDaniel, there is none other than the latest update interviewed with Tennessee today. I don't think of this as a kick in the nether regions if they don't get him. There's other good candidates out there. I think it's just a home run opportunity that was never real if they don't get him. I mean, if he, the only way it's a kick in the nether regions is if he takes an offensive coordinator job somewhere else. Then I'll feel like, ooh, the organization missed on this. Either they didn't offer him enough money or their plan didn't mesh with his plan.
Does this make things interesting? This came out from Adam Schefter. Report, if the Packers and Matt LaFleur fail to agree on a new extension, there's a possibility that teams contact Green Bay about a potential trade, per Adam Schefter.
I don't know if I were an organization I would ever trade for a coach.
Did you trade for Mike Tomlin?
That might have been different. I guess I would.
Because I think that's a thing.
You just put it in Doug terms and you win. But I don't like it.
I wouldn't trade for LaFleur, but...
Yeah, I don't like it because you're basically saying you're trading for a coach and you're giving up resources that would help the coach. You're already kind of putting him behind the eight ball. And it feels to me like you shouldn't have to do that.
Well, if you think the coach is a difference maker, then you would go ahead and do something. Like I said, Tomlin, I think there'd be some teams be willing to give Pittsburgh some draft capital to get Mike Tomlin to coach their team, although it seems like Mike Tomlin is very well willing to. He's stepping down for a reason. He wants to take at least a year off, and maybe he's done coaching.
Yeah. Kang, what do you make of that report with LaFleur?
Interesting. I think the coaching cycle this year is one of the most interesting coaching cycles that we can remember, and I don't think it's just recency bias. I mean, like a third of the teams in the league need coaches, right?
Yep.
Which is crazy. And one of those coaches, unfortunately, I know, skipping away from LaFleur a little bit because you just mentioned the Mike McDaniel thing, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know Mike McDaniel or anything, but from the outside looking in, it looked like he might need a year or two more of seasoning to become the best head coach he can be. But with so many job opportunities available and him, if he really wants to be head coach, it looks like he is going to get one of these jobs. It's hard not to believe he's not going to get one of these jobs. But I really would think that if I was talking to him, and I'm curious what you guys think, do you think the Lions were selling Mike McDaniel or Mike McDaniel was selling himself to the Lions? Because I would be selling myself to Mike McDaniel saying, listen, man, look at this offense we have here, the pieces we have. You respect me, I'm assuming, if it's Dan Campbell talking to him. See how things we run here, see how the culture we've set here, and maybe he can take that with him for his next job. The thing is, you don't know in a year or two what jobs are available. So I would understand if he didn't take the OC job, took a head coaching job. But I would really think about it, man, learning your skill set, becoming a successful second stint in this league.
I think it's an interesting way of putting it. I think the Lions do have a sales pitch to offer. And I think that's probably the way to go, is that you find the guys you really like, make that pitch to them. Make that pitch. Show them that you want them.
All right, I'm going to give you another variable we haven't talked about. But maybe we should. 9 jobs open. Do you think anybody's going to land Kurt Cignetti. So like an NFL team is going to make a real run at Kurt Cignetti, which means they probably put up feelers, outfielders already.
I don't think it happens, but I'm not going to be surprised if it does.
College lifer, but the kind of money you can make in the NFL, last job for him.
Well, the money he's making at Indiana is pretty sick.
Yeah, but you'd have to make it. You'd think of what you'd have to do to get him to leave Indiana. Okay, I'm going to put out another one. Ryan Day. Do you think any team's making a run at Ryan Day?
No. Ryan Day is an OC. I think the teams would be, you know, lining up to interview him for an OC job. For a head coach job, I'm not sure.
Never leave Ohio State to be an OC in the NFL.
No, I don't think he would unless he gets... I think Ryan Day would have a job as a head coach in college football if he were fired tomorrow by OSU.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, well, an NFL team to get Ryan Day the OC, offer Ryan Day the head coaching job.
No, I don't think they'd offer him head coaching job.
Okay. Steve Sarkisian at
Texas. Might have a better chance, though, because he's younger. Sarkisian?
I could see it. I could see Sarkisian leaving Texas. I mean, he's been in the NFL.
Not just yet.
Okay.
He's got more to prove.
Bill Belichick.
Would an NFL team go back after Bill Belichick? I mean, Pete Carroll was hired back.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.